Our second reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. I invite you to stand as you're able out of reverence for God's word. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And then he came back to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, let your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, grace and peace to you today from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning again, everyone. As I was explaining to the kiddos just a little bit ago, we've just entered a special time of year. And as you might have known if you were here this last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, which is the very beginning of the season of Lent. And the word Lent actually comes from the old English word Lenten, probably butchering the pronunciation of that, but it means spring in Old English. But what it represents is much more than the passing of the winter season into the springtime season, especially since as you look outside, it still looks like it's very much winter out there. But it's a time, and it's about 40 days in length, in which we as Christians, and Christians all over the world, take a moment to reflect on why we need a Savior. The time of Lent isn't about fish fries, even though I do admit those are really good. And as Lent isn't about an excuse to have parties like they have down at Mardi Gras down in New Orleans. It isn't even about the spiritual disciplines that you might associate with Lent, like prayer, almsgiving, or fasting. Lent is first and foremost a time of repentance. It's a time that's supposed to prepare our hearts spiritually for the cross of Good Friday. And so, since Peter and I finished our sermon series on the book of Philippians this past Sunday, this week we're beginning a new sermon series for Lent called Moments Before the Cross. Each week, Pastor Peter and I will look at some of Jesus' last teachings and sayings and look at those moments as Jesus gets ready for Good Friday. And so, this week, we're beginning with the first of Jesus' last moments on Good Friday, which comes in the middle of the night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you're familiar with the story, remember just this is at the night in between Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. So just a few hours earlier, and this is in the middle of the night, just a few hours earlier, Jesus and the disciples had celebrated the traditional Jewish Passover meal, and Jesus kind of took that and kind of made it into something new, into what we call the Sacrament of Holy Communion. And then afterwards, Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. In our gospel reading, it says the sons of Zebedee. That's James and John. And they went to this garden to pray. Now, at this point, I really don't think that the three disciples Jesus took with them had any idea what was about to happen. I mean, they didn't know that Judas had sold out Jesus to the authorities. They didn't know that he was about to be arrested. All they knew that it was late, they were tired, and their friend and teacher had dragged them out in the middle of the night to this garden to go pray, and he was pretty agitated about it, and he wanted to have a moment to himself. So they follow him to this garden, and Jesus goes off to pray. Presumably, they're supposed to be praying too, but it's been a long day, and they're pretty tired, and so they fall asleep. You know, when I would read this, I used to be pretty tough on these guys when I would read the story. I used to kind of think like, come on, guys, you had one job. All you had to do was keep a lookout for just 1 hour. But then, one time, it happened to me. You might have heard me, or might have heard me say this story before, but I think it was 8 years ago. I was at the U.S. Army Chaplain School in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. We had a spiritual fitness day. And one of the things that we had to do was spend an hour reading whatever our sacred text was. That's what they called it at the chaplain schoolhouse, our sacred text, and pray and meditate for an hour. And so there I go with my Bible, and I start reading under a tree in the shade on a beautiful, warm southern day. And after weeks of tiring training, you guess what happened? I fell asleep. And ironically enough, when I came to, the verse that I had opened my Bible, the first one I saw was this one, from Matthew 26, verse 40. So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Apparently not. So I cut those disciples a little bit of slack nowadays. But as I found out, sometimes staying awake for 1 hour is exactly what the hardest thing to do is. See, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told the disciples to do two things, watch and to pray. But as we learn from the experience of the disciples, watching and praying is sometimes a very difficult thing to do. There's all kinds of distractions that threaten to take us away from that mission. The worries and the cares of this world have a tendency to lull us asleep, just like the physical exhaustion that made Peter, James, and John fall asleep. So think about it. What lulls you to sleep in your spiritual life? What is it that keeps you from watching and praying like Jesus told his disciples? Is it your work? Is it the pressures of your everyday life? Maybe relationships? Maybe it's even fun, things that you like to do that are fun. Like, you know, maybe it might be sports or, you know, games or, you know, fishing or insert whatever thing you like to do here. All, you know, those aren't necessarily bad things in and of themselves, but they could be made to lull you to sleep. So this is why Jesus said to his disciples in verse 41, he said, stay awake and pray, or as some translations will say, he'll say, watch and pray. So stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, there are reasons why Jesus tells us to stay awake or to watch and pray. He says that we should stay awake and watch out so we may not come into the time of trial or temptation. It's another one of those things that might change depending on translation. Now, the reason why comes in the second half of the verse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, this doesn't mean that the flesh is weak because Peter, James, and John fell asleep instead of keeping watch. It means that there are times in our lives as followers of Jesus where we just simply can't do what we know in our hearts is the right thing to do. And St. Paul actually recognized this internal struggle when he was writing to the early church in Rome, when he said this. He said, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And what this internal struggle is the primordial original sin that we've inherited through the ages all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says the flesh is weak. That's why he tells us to stay awake and pray. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer all the time to lead us not into temptation. Because it's only with God's help that we could possibly stand alert. And even then, as St. Paul noticed, we can't do it alone. He says this a little bit later in Romans. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he answers it in the very next verse when he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only through Jesus that your weak flesh, your weak body can be rescued. Yes, you might have all the best intentions in the world in your spirit, but as the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Your body is weak because it's a slave to sin. Even though you follow Jesus with all your heart and mind, your body just can't. That's why we need to watch and pray. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there's another aspect of this directive that Jesus gives us, though. Remember, Jesus knew that this was going to happen. That's why he was praying so hard. In our reading, it says how Jesus prayed to the Father that this cup of his crucifixion might be taken from him. But the disciples didn't know that. Peter, James, and John didn't know that Gethsemane was a trap for Jesus laid by Judas. All Jesus told them was to watch and to pray. He didn't tell them to do anything else. And that watching and that praying turned out to be the hardest thing for them to do. Even Peter, who Gospels kind of paint as a brash, impulsive man, can't do much. And I know this technically isn't a part of our reading for this week. You know, it's a part of our reading for next week, so I'm sorry, spoiler alert. But when the trap is sprung, Peter grabs his sword and cuts off the ear of the slave of the high priest. And Jesus doesn't tell him to stand up and fight. He tells him off for it and tells him to put the sword away. And so the disciples could do nothing. Watching and praying is all they can do. Watch and from a distance as Jesus prays in anguish and pray themselves. Because it's never easy to simply watch when other people are suffering. I bet that Peter, James, and John felt for Jesus before they fell asleep, because sometimes watching is the hardest thing to do. But sometimes, like these three disciples found out, watching and praying is all they could do. I mean, I can certainly empathize with that sentiment. I don't know about you all, but that's how I've been kind of feeling myself watching this whole war unfold between Ukraine and Russia. And I know it's been tough on a lot of us, particularly on my soldiers, since most of us joined the army with the idea of protecting the innocent from evil people. But we're forced to sit on the sidelines when evil is being unleashed on the people of Ukraine. For most of us, for myself and my soldiers, our instincts tell us to go towards the sound of the guns, but we can't. And it's left us with a feeling of helplessness. And I'm sure that some of you might feel in a similar way. Helpless. Like there's nothing you can do except compulsively check various news sources for information on how the war is going. And in situations like this, there is little we can do except to watch and to pray. Pray that God would bring an end to the fighting, that he would watch over and defend the people of Ukraine as they defend their homes. Pray for those that are fleeing the violence, that those refugees might be cared for as strangers in a foreign land. But we can also watch. Watch for signs of God's work in the midst of the carnage. For like how the nations of the world came together to stand up for Ukraine. And for us to find ways to how we can help on the other side of the world, and how those opportunities to help would present themselves. Whether that's by giving words of encouragement to the Ukrainian people, or by donating your time and resources to charities that help innocent people caught in the crossfire, or to those that have escaped and are left with nothing but the clothes on their backs in foreign countries like Poland or Romania. And yes, I'm using this experience of helplessness as an example of what watching and praying might look like in our world today. But the point is that sometimes that's what watching and praying is about. It's not so much about some sort of direct action, it's about reinforcing our reliance on God and what he's going to do in a terrible situation instead. And situations like the war in Ukraine tell us, or even more mundane disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, or pandemics show us, there are lots of times in our lives where we are helpless to the forces around us. And the only option that we have is to follow the lead of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane and listen to Jesus. Watch out so that we don't fall into temptation. We pray for that every single time we pray the Lord's Prayer. But we also watch out for God at work in our midst and in our lives. And we also pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to inform us, to guide us into what God is calling us to do in our lives. And we pray that God would give us the strength for when our bodies that are ever so prone to sin, for them when they fail us. And we also pray for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there's one thing that our human experience as human beings should tell us, It's that we need a Savior. Because just like the disciples, on your own, you're going to fail at what Jesus asks of you. Now, all of this is important for us as we begin our Lenten journey. We need to watch and pray with Peter, James, and John. It's not easy, and it's not comfortable, and it shouldn't be. But we need to what we need to learn from both their experiences and from our own in our very fallen world is that we need a Savior. We need Jesus. And the only way that we're going to get there is by going through Gethsemane with Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father,